Check, check. How are we doing this morning, Wake? Good. Hey, can we give a quick round of applause to Josh Ruthie and the band? Thank you, guys. They do this weekly, and just grateful for the ways that they lead you guys. Guys, before we start this message, I got a little, I call it crust, but I don't know what you call it, but when you kind of just have a lot of sinuses and just a lot of stuff going on. So there's a lot of crust going on right now up here, but I'm going to pray for our message and our time together this morning, and then we're going to dive in. So please bow your heads with me. Lord, thank you for this morning and the opportunity that we have to spend time in your word. Lord, I pray for the students in this room that all the things that they're coming in with, the either distractions or things that are running through their head this morning, that they would be able to set those aside and to see you clearly. Lord, I pray that as we finish this series out, that students would ask hard questions of themselves, that they would leave Wake, and that their relationship with you would not just be a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning, but it would be a continual one, that they actively participate with you on a daily basis, seeking your face and knowing you. Lord, I pray all of these things in your name. Amen. All right, guys. This is, as I said, our last message in the series, Down to Earth. So just a quick recap for us. 2 weeks ago, Hank took us through the first message, and it was the promises of Jesus in the Old Testament, right? We got to see that in the Old Testament, there were in Genesis 3:15 specifically, there's a promise that God makes with man where he says, I will crush the serpent's head. We see in 2 Samuel 7, right? He makes a covenant with David, and he says that I will give someone in your line a house, kingdom, and a throne. We see in Isaiah that there is a promise of a virgin to be born, right? All of these promises in the Old Testament that all point to the person of Jesus. A week ago, I unpacked what it looked like and how the birth of Jesus changes our lives today, right? So we looked at his life leading up in the Old Testament. We looked at his birth in Luke chapters 1 and 2, and we saw that the birth of Jesus, it was for everyone, and it changed everything, and it should cause everyone to worship. And then this week, we are going to finish this series, and specifically, we are going to look at our purpose now in light of Jesus, right? We're going to look at the end of his life, and now that he has left and he has ascended and gone back into heaven, what direction did Jesus give us ending and at the end of his life here on earth or in the flesh? So specifically, we're going to look at our purpose, but I'm going to share with you this morning a quick story, and I'm going to give you a disclaimer. This is a sad story. So buckle up, strap in, here we go. This morning is a story about Albert and Rita Creighton. I don't know if you've ever heard of them before. Before this week, I had not heard of them myself, but these are two sweet people who lived in Canada, right? And so they're getting ready to go on a road trip. They are going from Canada to Las Vegas. So they all load up in their car, pack all their belongings, and they hit the road. So in March of 2011, Albert and Rita Creighton left British Columbia in their Chevrolet Astro van, and they headed for a convention in Las Vegas. And along the way, they decided to use the car's GPS and take what they thought was a shortcut. Unaware, though, that the GPS directions did not account for the seasonal conditions, they soon found themselves on a treacherous, remote road in the desert mountains. And after traveling for 6 miles, the road became impassable. Their car got stuck in the muddy conditions, and they were left stranded. So Albert and Rita, they attempted to dig themselves out, and they were unable to do that. But at this point, they had decided, okay, we're going to set out on foot and try to head back to the main road. But as they decided that, unknown to them, they were actually heading in the wrong direction. So as they hiked for a few miles, Mrs. Creighton's knee, she's got a bad knee, it got swollen, it started to hurt, so they had to turn back, and they had to go back to their car. So they get back to the car, and Mrs. Creighton hunkers down, and Mr. Creighton decided, okay, now I'm going to go out and go alone. I'm going to take the GPS, and I'm going to go and get us help. But unfortunately, this was the last time that Mr. Creighton saw Mrs. Creighton. So for the next 2 months, Mrs. Creighton lived in her car, stranded by herself, and lived off of trail mix, a little bit of candy, and fish oil tablets. She said she read her Bible every single day and was stranded in her car for 2 months until finally she was rescued. There were some people on some four-wheelers driving around who eventually found her in the middle of nowhere. A year later, they found Mr. Creighton. He was miles away from the car, and he actually had passed away from the winter conditions. So, really sad story, right? But Mrs. Creighton, she made it. She survived after 2 months of living in the car. So, Merry Christmas. Welcome to Wake. I know that's not the way you want to maybe most encouraging story for you to hear this morning, but there's a reason that I share that story with you guys. So, specifically, though, I want to talk this morning about direction and purpose, and we're going to tie that into this story here in a second, but the question I want you to think about is, what is your purpose in life, right? What determines your purpose in life? What is it, and what determines it, right? How does Jesus coming down to earth, as we finish this series, down to earth, how does Jesus coming down to earth influence or determine your purpose in life? Have you even ever thought about that question? Have you ever stopped and asked yourself, why am I here on earth? What am I here for? Who created me? Right? Some of these big questions that influence how we live our lives on a daily basis. And so I think for a lot of us, though, it might be, man, my purpose, you may not say this, but your purpose might be, man, my purpose is determined by how I feel. Right? If something makes me feel good, or it gives me joy, or it makes me comfortable, then those are the things that I live for on a daily basis. Maybe it's what you do. Hey, what I'm known by, how well I perform, the things I do, or the people around me, then that is what gives me purpose. Maybe it's what others think that I should do. It's people-pleasing, fear of man. It is, if other people around me think that I am good, then that gives me purpose and value. For me, in middle school specifically, I'll just share you with you, it was two things. The first thing it was that others thought highly of me. Right, I looked to others to see if they gave me value or if they thought I was popular or funny. And so I talked like the people that I was around because I wanted them to think that I was just like them or that I had worth or value. I tried out for all of the different sports because I thought if I played a sport or performed well in it, then that would give me value. Right, the other thing that I lived for in middle school and high school is that I was just constantly trying to make sure that I was doing good enough. And I use air quotes there in good enough because here's really what I mean by that. In middle school, my thought was, okay, well, if I do well in sports in school, then I can succeed and do good enough when I get to high school. And then in high school, I thought, okay, if I make good grades and good friends, I can get into a good college. And then when I get to college, I want to make sure that I get a good job, that I graduate, maybe I meet a good girl and I get married and it's all good. Right? And then when I get done with college, now I have the good job, the good wife, and I have a good life, and I've made it. But here's the problem with both of those purposes that I was living for in middle school. Specifically, the first one, that I put my worth in the hands of other people, I constantly looked for my approval in other people, right? It made me a slave to their opinions of me, and it was exhausting. It was a terrible purpose to live for on a weekly basis. And then the other thing of just, man, I'm trying to accomplish enough to just be good enough to just get to the next season, the next stage, the next thing in life. The problem was that there was never a just good enough for me. There will never be a just good enough to satisfy your soul. And so that's what I ran into constantly throughout middle school and high school. But I would have told you, I would have said, man, I show up to church on Sundays. I go to small group every single time we have it. I would have been able to tell you, hey, Jesus is my mission. He's my purpose. He's why I'm living. But deep down, those were the real things that I was living for on a weekly basis. So again, I ask you those questions. What is your purpose and what determines your purpose? And so the bottom line for the message this morning is that what informs your purpose will determine your life. What informs your purpose will determine your life. And so your purpose is really, really important. It is one of the most important things about you. Apart from your relationship with Jesus, if you have a relationship with the Lord, then he should be the one to determine and influence your purpose. So we're going to talk about that this morning. But here is the catch and why I started with this really sad story this morning. The catch is that if you live for the wrong purpose, that it will ultimately cost you your life. If you live for the wrong purpose, it will cost you your life. I believe that if you live for the wrong purpose in this life, not only will you have more scars and less joy, but you also will miss spending eternity with God if you live for the wrong purpose, if you do not have a relationship with Jesus. So, as we look at Matthew 28 this morning, you can flip there in your Bibles. We're going to look at the end of Jesus' life. This is right before he ascends into heaven, right? He's just died and raised from the dead. And in Matthew 28, we're going to read, starting in verse 16, it says this. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So we're going to see three questions answered this morning as we look at this specific text. And those questions are, who gives you your purpose? Who gives you your purpose? Number two, what is your purpose? And number three, how do you accomplish this purpose? Those are the three questions we are going to answer this morning. So again, quick context. Context, again, is just means setting. That just means understanding where we are at and what we are reading. That's really important when you read your Bibles. So quick context. Jesus has just lived his entire life on earth. He has been gone to the cross, was crucified, buried in the ground, died. He was in the ground for 3 days, raised to life. And he comes back and appears to hundreds of people. And he comes to the disciples now. And he gathers them on this mountain. And he gives them their new purpose. So we're going to start again in verse 18. And we're going to answer that first question. Who gives us our purpose? Verse 18 says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me.'" All authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. And so the first answer to that question, who gives you your purpose? Your purpose comes from Jesus. Why? Because all authority has been given to him. All authority has been given to him, right? God created you. And so the creator determines the purpose. He determines the direction, right? He has authority over everything. Colossians 1:16, this is a verse talking about the person of Jesus. It says, "For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authority, all things were created through him and for him." So again, the creator determines purpose. Jesus says, "All authority has been given to me." So now I get to determine your purpose because I created everything. To give you guys a quick illustration here, how many of you in this room like the Dallas Cowboys? All right, there's a few of you. I love that. All right, here we go. I'm going to try my best. Come back to me. I'm going to try my best to use a Dallas Cowboys illustration, and I'm going to try my best to make it make sense for everyone in the room, even if you don't love football or the Cowboys. So here we go. So I want you to know, if you don't know, the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, his name is Dak Prescott. Right, so the way that football typically works is Dak Prescott, the quarterback, he's going to get the play from the coach. He's either going to go to the sideline and get the play from the coach, or it's going to be given to him in his headset. So then Dak Prescott, all right, is going to go into the huddle. Right, so you know what a huddle is? Everyone, the whole team, they huddle up. They huddle up. Dak Prescott leans in, and he gives the play to the entire team. Right, he tells everyone what the play is going to be. He tells everyone what the play is going to be. And so he gives them their assignments. And then everyone lines up here. Now, I just want you to imagine with me, right? Dak Prescott tells the play to the entire team. And specifically in football, there are these guys right here, the linemen. Their job, for the most part, is to just block, to keep the quarterback from getting hit. So imagine this lineman right here, the center. He goes, Dak Prescott gives the play, and the center looks at him and goes, "Hey, that's an awesome play. I know my job is supposed to block here, but I'm actually going to run straight up the field, and I'd just love for you to throw me the ball. Just throw it to me deep. I promise I'll burn the safety." Maybe not everybody knows what that means, but that's okay. The center's like, "I'm going to run straight up the field. Throw me the ball." Right? What would happen? That would be chaotic. There would be a lot of problems with that, but that doesn't happen in football. And why does that not happen? because they know what their purpose is. All right, so the reason that people fulfill their roles in football is because they know what the play is and what their purpose is. And who gives it to them? It is the coach. The coach determines your purpose and your plan in football. And in the same way, Jesus determines our purpose in life. He is not only our coach. He doesn't just inform the way that we live on a daily basis. He is also our creator. So even more so that a football player should listen to his coach, we should listen to our coach, not only because he informs how we live our lives, but because he created us. And so your purpose is given to you by the person who has given you, who is given all authority over all of creation. It is Jesus. So Jesus gives us our purpose because through God, he is our creator. And so the next question that we're going to answer here is, what is our purpose? Right? So if Jesus gives us our purpose, then what is it? And we see that in verse 19. Let's keep reading. It says, therefore. Pause right there. Whenever you see a therefore, when you're reading, you can stop and ask yourself, what is it there for? And right here, this verse, or therefore, is written to say, hey, in light of everything that I just said, Jesus is saying, because I have been given all authority on heaven and on earth, therefore, now this is true. So because I have authority, he says, therefore, and then now he gives us our purpose. He says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. So now let's stop and answer that question. What is our purpose? Our purpose is to go and make disciples. Right, to go and tell people about Jesus. If you have a life that has been transformed by God, if you have a relationship with Jesus, then now your purpose is to go and tell people about Jesus, to go and let everything you do before Jesus. Go and be with Jesus. Go and give your life fully to Jesus. Again, if you have a relationship with God, if you have been saved, and you are going to spend eternity with him, then your life should be given a new purpose where you should go. And everything you do, every conversation, relationship, piece of homework, sport you play, everything you do should be done for the purpose of making Jesus known. And so to answer that question simply, what is your purpose? Your purpose is to make Jesus known through everything that you do. And that's why we show up to Wake on a weekly basis, to be reminded of that purpose. We show up to small group to ask the question, how can I live my life in light of that purpose this week? In my sports, in my relationships, in my homework, in everything that I do. Matthew 5:16 says, in the same way, let your light shine so that you may, that others may see your good deeds and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Everything that you do should be in light of making others known. Or making Jesus known, and that others would know that your purpose is to live a life for Jesus. And so how do I do that? How do we do that? He says, go and make disciples. Go and share people. Or go and share Jesus with people. He says to teach and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And later in the verse, he says, specifically, I think we have the next verse after that once we get there. Sorry, I just lost my place. So we accomplish this. Our purpose is to make Jesus known. But he says, I want you to go and make disciples. And the next verse after that, he says, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So now he says, how? He says, I want you to go and make disciples by teaching them all that I have commanded you, and I want you to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And let's just do a quick aside here, right? If you're distracted by your neighbor, I'm asking you to come back in right now. Right, just a quick side note here. Jesus commands his disciples. He says, go and baptize people. We often don't talk about baptism at Wake. We celebrate it when people go and get baptized, and we always say the same phrase, that baptism is an outward expression of an inward change. But I want to say from the stage this morning that if you have not been baptized and you have a relationship with God, that we're commanded to be baptized. And being baptized does not save you. I want to be really, really clear. It is not how you are saved. You do not get to spend eternity with God because you are dunked in water and risen up. Baptism is commanded because it is an outward expression of saying, I've been given a new life. I've been given a new purpose, right? 2 Corinthians 5 talks about how if we are in Christ, we are a new creation, that the old has passed away and behold, the new has come. And so baptism is a representation of saying, my old life is behind me. It has been buried in the ground, that I will no longer live for all the things and the purposes that I thought that I was supposed to live for all of my life. And now, therefore, I am given a new life in Christ. And so if you have not been baptized and you have questions about what that means, what that looks like, I would encourage you, don't leave this morning without talking to your small group leader or one of us. Right? Baptism is important because it is an outward expression. It is commanded to us as believers. It is an outward expression of an inward change. And so back to what Jesus says. He says, go and tell others about me. How? He says, teach them all that I have commanded you, right? So God's commands, they're not a checklist. Again, I want to be clear. They are not a checklist. He's not saying, hey, follow these things in order to be in relationship with me. God's commands are a response to a changed heart. They are a path to life, not only full life in this life, that we would experience more joy in this life. They are also a path to eternal life. That if we study God's word and that we know how to be rightly in relationship with him, that we get to spend eternity with him forever, right? If we believe, it is not through our works. We are saved not through our works, but by grace alone. And if you believe that and know that, then you should look to God's word to continue to fulfill out your purpose. It does not save you. God's commands are a response, similar to baptism, a response to an inward changed heart. Right, and again, to be very clear, that does not earn you salvation. Following more and more of God's commands does not earn you eternal life. But we should follow them if we have truly surrendered our life to Jesus. And so the last question we're going to answer, how do I accomplish this purpose? Because that sounds awesome, Jonathan. I know that Jesus gives me my purpose. I probably could have answered that coming in this morning. What is my purpose? To make Jesus known? You probably could have answered that as well this morning, coming in here. And that's great that I'm supposed to follow God's commands and do all of these things and be baptized and tell other people about Jesus. But that actually practically looks really hard on a daily basis, right? In your schools, on your teams, in your families, with the people closest to you, it is really hard sometimes to follow out God's commands. And so how do you accomplish this purpose? And Jesus makes it really clear. In the last verse of the book of Matthew, he says this. He says, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Right, so Jesus has just now given the disciples a new purpose. He says, go and make me known. But he doesn't end it by saying, hey, go and make me known and hey, try your hardest. Hey, go and make sure that you tell everyone in the entire world. Make sure you go and tell everyone about me. Just you. You're responsible for it all. Go and do it. Try really hard. Don't stop until you've reached every single person. He doesn't say that. Jesus says, go and make disciples. And he says, I am with you always till the very end of the age. Right? And so the way that we accomplish this purpose is with Jesus. The way that we accomplish this purpose is with Jesus. And that is a really, really sweet promise because we are not left to fulfill our purpose by ourselves or on our own because God is with you. We talk about John 15:5 at Wake sometimes where it just says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you abide in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit, but apart from me, you can do nothing. The way that we fulfill our purpose and live it out on a daily basis is by abiding. It is by being in relationship with God on a daily basis, not just coming to Wake and hearing things about him, not just showing up to small group and going through the motions, but by being in relationship with God daily. I love Psalm 138. Psalm 138:8, it says, "The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, it endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands." Right? It is the Lord through us that fulfills our purpose. And so the next time that you're nervous to share your faith, or you're in a hard conversation with a sibling or a parent, or you're frustrated or you're discouraged, or you're just wondering, man, I feel so down and I don't even understand, or I don't feel accepted by this group of friends, know that God is with you. He is with you. And that is a promise that we've been given from Jesus, that as he goes to spend eternity or the rest of time with God in heaven, he is no longer walking this earth in flesh, but he is still with us through his Spirit. And that is a really, really sweet promise. And so I tell you again, as we close, if you've not thought about your purpose before, I would challenge you this morning to think about your purpose deeply. Just how we started this message talking about Albert and Rita Creighton and the sad story that it was, but they followed the wrong map, and that map led them to a place that ultimately cost one of them their lives. And I would tell you the same is true for you, that in middle school and in high school and in college and the rest of your life, if you follow the wrong map, that it will cost you your life, that it will lead to a life filled with more scars and less joy. But if you believe and trust in the person of Jesus, if you have a relationship with him, if you've said, man, I believe that God is who he says he was, that I've accepted him into my heart, that Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. If that is you, then these three things should be true of your life, that you should know that Jesus gives you your purpose, that your purpose is to make Jesus known, and that you would accomplish that purpose on a daily basis by being with Jesus. And so that is why it is so important that Jesus came to earth, lived a life in the flesh to pay the price for our sins, and that we would study and look at his life, the promise of his life to come in the Old Testament, the plan for his birth, and our purpose in light of him coming and living a perfect life. So would you think about your purpose as you spend the rest of these next couple weeks out of school or on a daily basis spending time with him? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your son, sending your son so that we may spend eternity with you because of the payment of his death on the cross, that we would get to spend eternity with you, Lord. I pray that you would do a work in students' hearts, that it wouldn't just be another encouraging message or a checked box that they got to hear this morning, but that someone in this room would leave asking themselves the question, what is my purpose and how can I live it out in light of Jesus? Lord, I pray that if any student this morning has questions about you or a relationship with you or about their purpose or baptism or anything else in between, that they would have the boldness to go and have a conversation with a leader or one of us this morning. Lord, I'm grateful for you, the time that we get to spend with you and Wake and all of the leaders in this Christmas season, that we get to spend time with our families. Lord, I pray that it would be a blessing this season as we fix our eyes on you continually. Lord, I pray all these things in your name. Amen. All right, guys, you're dismissed. No Wake next Sunday. No Wake the following Sunday.